Over my years in sports broadcasting, I've met a handful of interesting and unique athletes, and the man joining us now on Sports Byline is one of those athletes, Dahani Jones, linebacker in the National Football League, and he has a book out that I hope you'll check out called The Sportsman, following Dahani's discovery that the parts of his life that too many seem to think were a distraction, including an off-season TV show that actually sent him around the world, he learned a lot about himself. And Dahani, one of the things that I think makes you unique is the fact that in professional sports, they like conformity, but you've always been an individual and a guy that walked to the beat of your own drum. How have you been able to make both of those work so well?
Well, you know, I suppose it started off at a young age and being in Montessori school and always being the person that was taught or part of the class that was taught to ask questions. And walking to the beat of your own drum kind of comes from wondering what's around you and being curious and traveling through different countries, 200 days on the road, 20 different countries. That's just with Dahani Tackles the Globe, and as it's illustrated through The Sportsman, talks about that curiosity. It talks about what you want to see from the world around you, and ultimately, what do you want to give back to the people that you care about and the people that you want to uplift? Because from my perspective, I look at it at like this. Within the National Football League, there's guys doing things, but not a lot of guys talking about the things that they're doing. So the guys that are coming now into the league don't necessarily know exactly what to do, but people that have been in the league for a long time need to express those things that they're passionate about so that the young people coming in can now be comfortable enough to talk about the things that they love.
I think you know as well as I do that when players are unique like you and have things outside of their sport, and in your case, professional football, it tends to make management think, well, maybe he's not quite committed to us. Have you run into that?
Yeah, you know, things like that have happened. And questions, of course, float around like that. I mean, especially when you look at football and the fact that it's sort of a changing of the guard, the perspective of what athletes are supposed to do. I mean, you have a guy like Chad Ochocinco. Now, regardless of whatever you think he does, he's been quoted as the top or one of the top influential people on Twitter. Here's a guy that has his helmet on most of the time, but at the same time has over 2 million or, over a million, almost 2 million or some followers, if you will. So when you think about things like that and a guy that's able to come out and play, and you think about the distractions that people think I might have from tackling the globe, look back on my 11-year career playing in New York for 4, Philadelphia for 3, and Cincinnati for 4, and look and see where I've been most productive. The last year in Cincinnati, I was top 10 of everybody in the league in terms of tackles. And I had been on the road 200 days out of those last 3 seasons while still playing in every game and, in my opinion, going out there and doing the things I had been doing in the past and doing them better because I was doing the things I was passionate about and also playing the game that I love.
Do you need to have external stimulation in order to make you a better football player in your mind?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's part of what helps. And I think this lockout, it's an interesting point right now because I think guys have an opportunity, an interesting time to really look around and find the things that they're truly passionate about, the things that they truly love. And then when the game will resume eventually after all the secret talks are done, guys realize that, you know, football is something about what they do, but it's not everything of who they are as people. And so as they learn to sort of express themselves outside the game, they'll learn that it will only help the game that they play.
You know you're unique, don't you?
Who? I'm not unique. I'm just a guy that likes to travel and a guy that likes to wear bow ties.
Yeah, but how many players do you think are actually like you across professional sports?
You know, I think there's actually a lot of guys out there, but I think that it's been hammered into the mindset of players for so long that the only thing they think about is the sport itself. When they might have been a person that was completely creative, but the fact that they had a good jump shot, that they started playing basketball, and the only thing they were told was think about basketball. That they were a person that might have been an incredible pianist, but they had a great arm, so that they became an incredible quarterback, and they were only think about basketball, about football. And I can go down the line in terms of sports, and I can contrast that to incredible capabilities that someone might have, and how sport took over everything else that they did. But my thought process is, how can we get guys to rediscover the true nature of who they are as people and make that more primary and make the game that they love ancillary? Because ultimately, if you find out who you are as a person, everything else falls into place.
One of the things about this book is it's been reported to be part travelogue, part memoir, and part workout guide. And for those people listening, he is the host of Dahani Tackles the World. That's a show on the Travel Channel. And it follows you around the world as you learn international sports and the cultures of the country. Tell me about some of the things in this book that you did learn that you've been able to apply to your professional life.
Well, I mean, I was in Switzerland, and, you know, I was in a town where there weren't a lot of people that looked like me. And, of course, I'm under the prejudgment, regardless of how much I think I could go into a situation and wipe all propaganda and thought processes clean. You know, and I thought people were really ultimately against me. But what I found in the end is the fact that they just really wanted me to work and prove myself to them. And that's one of the key things in life. Not everybody will take you at face value. Everybody will look at you sort of different, regardless of who you are. But if you work hard and you compete and you really prove yourself, then you can work to find yourself through any situation. That was one of the primary things that I learned for a long time. And I think that was a wonderful life lesson that I can translate into everything that I do.
Well, I know in reading the information about the book, they were talking about Thai boxing in Thailand allowed you to develop better core strength and stability through intense back and stomach muscle exercise. And then dragon boat racing in Singapore helped you build upper body strength and wind capacity. I mean, really, when you think about sports, it adds to the total person, does it not?
Oh, I think completely. And all the different sports that you play add to you as an athlete. And the more, you know, I utilize every sport and every country, and you'll learn in The Sportsman, every sport, every country, there is a different aspect of training that allowed me to be more and more prolific through the game of football. And I came back in better shape and a better mindset, and I was able to go to that special place regardless of whatever happened and fight through all the trials and tribulations and be successful on the field.
Tell me the commonality that you found in your travels in viewing sports in other cultures, other countries. Well, what is that commonality among the athlete?
No, I think the competition, the innate ability to want to win. I think regardless of who you are and whatever sports that you play, you want to win, whether you're dragon boat racing, whether you're, you know, competing in volleyball, whether you're just walking through Nepal to the base camp of Everest. I mean, you want to be the first person up there. You want to compete. You want to compete. You want to beat everybody. And, you know, you want to really showcase your talents and your capabilities. And that's, you know, that's across the board. And I think everybody has that in them. You know, it doesn't matter if you play professional sports or not. You know, even if you're playing intramural, I mean, go to an intramural basketball game, intramural baseball game, softball, kickball game. Everybody out there that's doing that wants to compete. And I think that's what's common across all cultures, all people, all countries.
I need to ask you this question because I think you know as well as I do that in other cultures, other countries, that while competition is important in any sport in those countries, that really it does not have the significance that it might have in the United States because of just the financial aspect. I mean, they don't have pro football at this level. They may have pro soccer, but I'm talking about the little countries and other sports. But what do you find as far as the difference in the drive? I mean, money seems to change a lot of things when it comes to sports competition, and that's not the case in a lot of countries with a lot of these sports.
Well, some of the sports that people play are to sustain their families. You know, you go to Thailand and you go to Cambodia, sometimes the guys have to fight because it's the way that they're paying, you know, to live. You know, and everything in terms of pay is relative depending upon what country you're in. I mean, we have exorbitant numbers that athletes make. And some countries, it's hardly anything that some athletes might make. But at the same time, you know, it's the love and the drive of the competition. It's the love and the drive of the sport itself that sustains them throughout, regardless of what the pay structure is.
Tell me about some of the interesting personalities that you've met in your travels.
The personalities, the strong personalities of the people that I even just walked with in Nepal, or the thought process that I didn't, that they didn't think I knew how to swim when I was in Australia. I wouldn't call that a mild amount of, you know, ignorance, if you will. You know, there's personalities across the board. When I was in England and I was playing rugby, the quick-witted nature of some of the competitors that I played against, the English always have a funny way of putting a twist on things. The sort of the brute nature of the Scottish when I was competing in the Highland Games, and the confident nature of those in Iceland when I was doing the strongman competition. You know, Highland Games in Scotland and the strongman competition in Iceland. There's personalities all across the board, and everybody will find, and anybody who has traveled before knows that when you travel, you meet people of all different backgrounds that have come from amazing places, and they'll be able to tell you stories, and you'll be able to see through their personality, their life.
What's your observation of the fans that watch the various sports that you've covered around the world in your travels?
My observation of fans, I mean, fans are crazy everywhere. Every fan wants to live vicariously through the person, man, woman, or child that's involved in the competition itself. You know, you go to Thailand, you see people betting on the side, and they're thinking in their mind, who am I going to pick? Who do I feel like I'm – who do I want to pick to feel like I'm that person in the ring fighting the other person, right? So it's just like football. Fans are sitting on the sidelines, and they're thinking, okay, what player do I want to be right now? How do I want to react? How do I want to attack? You know, how do I want to be a linebacker? How do I want to hit that running back? Or if I'm a running back, how do I want to attack the hole and get past the linebacker? That's consistent across the board. It doesn't matter where you are. As a fan, you are on the sideline, but in your mindset, you're participating in that activity.
Have you seen some interesting traditions associated with the various sports as you've watched them being played?
Yeah, there's traditions in terms of the traditional Y-Crew dance that took place in Thailand, which is, you know, which pays homage to your elders and pays homage to the past and to the present and to the future and to your teacher. There is ultimately some level of spirituality that's consistent across the board. In Senegal, with lute wrestling, people going to see witch doctors in terms of, you know, having them bless them with certain stones and certain aspects of their clothing so that they could be successful. That's everywhere. Spirituality within sport and competition run hand in hand.
When I was over in Kurdistan recently, I was watching a soccer game, and one of the traditions they had is that when their team, either team, scored a goal, they slaughtered an animal and had it roasted it, and I had never seen that before. I'd gone to concessions.
How was the meat?
I'd gone to concession stands before, Dahani, but not one like that.
Well, this is called fresh cut meat.
We only have a minute left, but what have you gotten most out of all your travels around the world when you reflect back on it?
You know, that people are people, and people want to know about, people are curious. People are curious, people are competitive, and people are people. And no matter where you go, you always find someone that is interested in speaking to you and telling them about your country, and they want to know more about yours. And I believe as Americans that we have to be able to travel more. We have to be able to see the world so we can tell our story and we can learn about other people's story firsthand, not through any other medium, but through our own ears.
I know that because of just the wear and tear of an NFL season, you almost do have to get away and do something else different, do you not, in order to stay fresh and be able to play as long as you've played?
Oh, absolutely. It's the best way to stay in shape. It's the best way to keep your mind fresh and be prepared for the next up-and-coming season.
Dahani, I want to thank you very much. Congratulations on this book. We're going to make it a selection of the month on the Sports Byline USA Book Corner. I appreciate
thank
your
you
time,
sir.
And I'll talk to you later. Take care, Dahani.
All right, take care. I'll talk to you later. And remember, you can find the Sportsman anywhere.
Okay, very interesting book and a very interesting athlete as well. Middle linebacker for the Cincinnati Bengals, has played with the Giants, the Eagles. And if you want to check out this book, it's an interesting read. It's called The Sportsman, Unexpected Lessons from an Around-the-World Sports Odyssey. And he does go around the world. He has that television show on the Travel Channel called Dahani Tackles the Globe, and it follows Dahani around the world as he learns international sports and the cultures of the countries around the world as well. We continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.